This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:08 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hizril. And our story this hour is about political appointments. So recently, de facto law minister Dato' Taqiyuddin Hassan said that all MPs who do not hold positions in government will be made heads of GLCs.
That's right. Dato' Taqiyuddin, who's also past Secretary General, said that there are currently 9 more past MPs who have yet to hold any position, and they'll be given the responsibility to manage GLC soon. As for their qualifications, well, the minister said that all of them are qualified because they are MPs.
Yeah, so the recent spate of political appointments in GLCs hasn't quite gone unnoticed. We recently saw the Human Resource Development Fund's new chairperson coming from MIC, which is Nelson Ranganathan, who is now replacing Dato' Noor Faridah Mohamed Arifin, who is a lawyer and a prominent NGO member of G25. Speaking of which, G25... said that Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin needs to clarify this statement and that he should make sure that these appointments meet the proper criteria. We haven't quite heard yet from the Prime Minister himself about this comment made by his one of the members of his cabinet.
That's right.
Unfortunately. Mm. I think my main takeaway from this is right now it does seem as if their focus is more so on positions, more so on politics, as opposed to the focus being on what's happening with the country right now. You know, we're facing a double crisis, one of health and one of economic problems. And we need a more coordinated government response. And if the first few things that you were saying of prominence includes trying to get positions, trying to get those political trophies, concerning at the very least.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the first thing that came to my mind, since these are all past MPs, is, you know, maybe not everyone was appointed special envoy to the Middle East. Dato' Sri Anwar today said, you know, that this move is indefensible, and I really can't find another side of the argument. Actually, I've been looking at the some of the perks that MPs get, and I'm not sure about the specifics of the current MPs right now under the new government, but previously in Pakatan Harapan's government, MPs already get quite a few perks, not just ministers. So they earn about...
I think it's about 16,000
or something. Yeah, 16,000 ringgit a month. And on top of that, MPs who are not ministers also get things like entertainment allowance, which is 2,500 ringgit per month. They get a hotel allowance when they go overseas. They have a food allowance when they're overseas. They have a fuel allowance of 1,500 ringgit per month, you know, a driver allowance even, 50, yeah. You know, right? Even if they don't have their own, they can hire one for 1,500 a month. So, you know, it's quite, you go through the numbers, it's a lot of numbers, but MPs already get a lot of benefits. So I don't know, you know, if it's a question of, sufficiency or something beyond that.
Yeah, and I think this move has also come under the defense of former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak. And if anything, if there's a lesson to be learned from there, if there is a person just like that who is under charges for corruption, who's under charges for money laundering, I don't think you want to take that as a good person to sort of help represent or defend your cause. To be realistic, I think perhaps even at the end of Pakatan Harapan, that was something that they happened to falter on as well, that there were political appointments happening at that time. So maybe, you know, beyond looking at political appointments on its own, perhaps it's also very important to consider the fact that there needs to be an improvement in the way we run GLCs, right? You know, to make sure that regardless of the person you appoint there, be it a politician, someone who is coming from a political background, or someone who might be seen as a technocrat, who might be a professional appointment instead, where also it could come with a unique set of problems, right? If you're not elected, you might not have that GLC represent the best interests of the public, that we fine-tune that appointment process and we make sure that the rules, policies, and regulations of someone being able to hold those positions are protected from instances of corruption, instances of bad business practices.
Right. When you mentioned political appointments, you know, that is correct. There were political appointments made under the Pakatan administration, and one of them that was seen to be political was, although it's not a GLC, was the appointment of Wan Saiful Wanjan, mm-hmm. right, to PTPTN. But, you know, regardless of his, you know, how people have debated whether he's delivered or not, to be fair, you know, he comes from a very, he comes from a think tank, right? Ideas, and he has this sort of academic caliber in terms of looking at policies and certain things. So that's one thing that the Pakatan MPs have criticized about the current government, that, you know, if they're going to be appointments, they should at least be credible.
Yeah.
And being a technocrat and a politician, I don't think are two exclusive things. But just because mm-hmm. you're a politician, I don't think that makes you automatically a technocrat and capable to run some very important GLCs. You know, we're talking about a lot of things here. We're talking about things about handling the agriculture and certain industries that are very, very complex and
yeah.
take a very, very fine eye to run and to really understand.
The skills are different, and managing a constituency itself, it's a whole role, it's a whole job.
That's right.
Don't half-butt things, essentially, right? Well, if you can let us know what your thoughts are about these political appointments, you can call us, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We now have on the line Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us.
Good evening. Nice to be here.
So we don't quite have the full picture for now, but based on what Dato' Takiuddin said, there are observers who've commented that the move to give all government backbenchers GLC's positions is to consolidate support for Perikatan. What are your thoughts on this perspective?
Well, first of all, I think it's very important to acknowledge that we don't know what the full list of who the appointees are. We don't know how much the scope of which GLCs are going to be involved in appointments. And I think that there is not a centralized process of how this is going about, that this is not something that is coordinated coming from the center, from what we can understand. So I think part of what we have to appreciate that some of this statement by a politician is about jockeying for positions. And at the same time, some of the lists that have been circulating on social media are also about rubbishing the government as well. So I think we have to begin from this premise that we don't have we don't have clear information. But that said, I think that, you know, if there is any credence to this comment, one of the things that is going on is that traditionally politicians have been given positions in GLCs, but it's usually been what I would call a handshake, someone who has been retired from political office were given positions, and but now we're moving more from a handshake to what I would call as a shakedown. That it is very much very politically driven to shore up the government. The numbers of the majority go from about 113 to 114. But the thing is that Tran Sri Muhyiddin is not clear of whether or not there is loyalty within for the BN within his own coalition. And there are at least 15 MPs that have, you know, have some grumbling quietly, especially some of those that I know. But also, I think from the comments, also from that of PAS. And so there seems to be that there is a sense of wanting to shore up by using patronage. And this, of course, is actually something that has been done in the past, particularly around the 1MDB scandal in 2015 and 2016. But it's also something that is not unheard of. But it is a different type of pattern. And I also think it's useful and interesting to see that it is PAS that is articulating the desire for position. This party has increasingly become more like UMNO in terms of its patronage orientation, and it's become very blatant in that statement that was made by Takayuddin.
Right, and you bring up a valid point there, considering that, you know, the government is probably the weakest government when we put into consideration how the Pakatan Harapan coalition is the strongest opposition in Malaysian history thus far. So in terms of, you know, possibly shoring up power and gaining the loyalty of MPs, how effective do you think this move will be?
Well, I think that, it definitely puts them on their side. And that, I think, is an important element of what is going on in terms of, making sure that there is some sort of loyalty and when they have a GLC position, they get income from this position. But, of course, it will have big costs for the taxpayers involved.
Right. And, you know, are we now beginning to see, I guess, signs of tensions between Bersatu, PAS and UMNO with regards to this recent statement made by PAS?
Look, this coalition is a coalition of convenience. There is always going to be jockeying for positions and for relative power. We saw that over the cabinet. We're going to see this over the GLCs and over the appointments that they expect to get. And I think some of the players who felt that they have not received their quote-unquote fair share will probably be louder in calling for different demands and expecting, for example, to receive other sets of awards and use the appointment power in this particular regard.
Now, in terms of GLC appointments being viewed as political, how much change did we see with regard to this in terms of GLC reforms under the Pakatan Harapan, the previous Pakatan Harapan government? And if indeed what Dato' Takayuddin says comes true, are we moving back to square one?
Well, I think that there are a couple things that need to be, to look at. I mean, there's always in the GLC sector, which is, at a conservative estimate is anywhere from 40 to 60% of the Malaysia's economy in terms of its role. There's always a tension between professional management and political prerogatives. And politicians have long served in these roles. And sometimes they've had very damaging impact, for example, in the Felda scandal and the Tabung Haji, both of which were run by politicians. Now, what we saw in 2005 under Abdullah Badawi, there was a transformation plan to change governance within the GLCs. And that has had mixed effects. Even under parts of Najib's government, there were quite a lot of professionals put into key positions, especially into the larger GLCs. The problem, however, is the 1MDB scandal undermined a lot of that. Now, under Pakatan Harapan, I think it's fair to say that there were quite a few also political appointees made to some of the GLCs, such as Khazana, for example. And so I think there was a reality that Pakatan Harapan did make some political appointees and very significant ones. That said, many of the appointees were very seen as strong professionals who were working towards issues of improving governance. And this actually, particularly addressing the problems that were created by the mismanagement of the GLCs during the previous government. So I think that what we're not doing right now is we're not moving back to the past. We're moving actually into a very different and I think very troubling direction, in part because COVID-19 requires the economy to be as viable for recovery as possible. So there are three areas where I think that are important to bring attention to. The need for having professionals and competent people in those positions. The move away, what we're seeing is by putting all these politicians potentially in these positions, a move away from accountability from the perspective within the companies themselves. And I think you're also creating this impression that these GLCs are political fodder. And these are taxpayer organizations that actually, work and sustain the economy. So I think there's actually a move in a very different direction away from the transformation plan that was originally set out and had some modest changes over time in the last decade or so.
How do you view the timing in which this statement was made, given that the country, well, as you said, is battling COVID-19?
Well, I think, you know, my view is that this really helps to undermine any recovery that Malaysia moves forward. I think, you know, one of the challenges Malaysia has faced in managing the pandemic is that it changed government during this period of time. And this had an implication for society in terms of management of the pandemic. I think the same thing can be said when you change management of companies. And I think this is going to impact the management of how they begin to develop a recovery plan to figure out how to coordinate and to address the economic crises. I also think it's important to recognize that many of the GLCs are more important than others. And I think it's when we look forward to see what the appointments are, it will be very important that they maintain the professional appointments in the bigger GLCs compared to the smaller ones.
So, in any other case, this might seem like an odd question, but it's where we find ourselves today. In terms of skill set, what are the differences between being an MP and running a GLC?
Well, in fairness, some MPs were in business in the private sector, and they have experience, and so they come in with the private experience. But many MPs do not. They come in with a sense that this is something for them that they've won as a result of being in office, the sense of entitlement. And they don't have the ability to manage these companies because they lack private sector experience. And disproportionately, most of the MPs that we're looking at are people who don't have that same level of private sector experience. And this, of course, really raises questions. And some of them are also associated with issues of mismanagement. And so it's one of the things moving forward would be the test of the regulatory and watchdog bodies. Because, you know, we've seen that the politicians, not all, but some politicians can actually, you know, have very serious malfeasance effects on these companies, which in turn actually really impact the overall financial position of the country.
Right. And if indeed all backbencher MPs are given GLC positions, what impact will it have in terms of public support on the ground?
Look, I think among the base that the PN government is appealing to, among the Malay heartland, I think that this will actually have a very limited negative impact. They're looking in terms of issues of relief, issues associated with managing the crisis. But I think among the political classes and among those in the private sector, this is going to create a lot of distrust in the government. I think that there's going to create cynicism about the way politicians are governing the country. And I think this really helps to undermine the pandemic effort, but also the recovery that will need to come afterwards. There are those people who like PN and there are those people who don't. For some of this, it just reinforces the reasons why they don't like them. And for others that do like them, I think that it will, longer term, really cut into the financial position of the country unless they put the right people in those positions. And I think that it's important to be pushing for maintaining some of the professionals in those positions, as well as putting professionals into these positions, as well as the political appointees. Just giving it, giving the companies and giving taxpayer companies to MPs will have a very negative impact. And I think it won't just be about trust. It will also be about the economic finances of the country, which are very strained at the moment and will continue to be strained as it moves forward.
Right. Now, Bridget, we have about a minute left. So what do you think all of this means then moving forward for the need to reform our GLCs?
Well, I think that, Tan Sri Muhyiddin came in and they said he promised a clean government. And I think that as they're making the decisions on the GLCs, I think that if he can hold to that, I think that at a greater degree than the people who are jockeying for positions and hold some of the political demands at bay, I think he's going to do a better job for the country. If he chooses to sell out the GLCs, he'll be selling out the long-term prospects of being able to move the country forward.
Bridget, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, talking about political appointments in GLCs. We have the 6:30 news coming up. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.